So the mention today is the glorious appearance day of Sita Devi, Sitastami. It's the appearance day of Janava Mata, the consort of Lord Nityananda, and also the disappearance day of Madhu Pandit. I'm just going to mention Madhu Pandit very quickly, then we'll talk about Sita Devi, and hopefully we'll get to Janava Mata. So Madhu Pandit is renowned as the devotee who established the Radha Gopinath temple in Vrindavan. And Gopinath appeared to him, just like a magical appearance. And he also took initiation from Gadadhar Pandit Goswami, disciple of Gadadhar Pandit Goswami. So he's a very important person. Of course, Gopinath is the deity of the Prayojana. And, of course, Madhu Pandit's not the Acharya of Prayojana. That's Raghunath Das Goswami who's the Acharya of Prayojana. The ultimate realization, going back to home, back to Godhead, the pastimes in the spiritual world. So that's Madhu Pandit. And then we'll talk about Sita Devi. We're going to preface our talk about Sita Devi by reading a verse from the ninth canto, which we're reading right now. Not this verse right now, but we read before. And it's text 55 in the tenth chapter of the ninth canto. We will just read this.
Prendanu vritya shilena prasyan vanatasati via priyaja bhavajya vartu sitaharan manaha.
Mother Sita was very submissive, faithful, shy, and chaste, always understanding the attitude of her husband. Thus, by her character and her love and service, she completely attracted the mind of the Lord. So, Srila Prabhupada explains, as Lord Ramchandra is the ideal husband, Eka Patni Vrita, Mother Sita is the ideal wife. Such a combination makes family life very happy. Yadir acharati sreshtas tatat evetaro janaha. Whatever example a great man sets, common people follow. If the kings, the leaders, and the brahmanas, the teachers, would set forth the examples we receive from Vedic literature, the entire world would be heaven indeed. There would be no longer hellish conditions within this material world. Wow. So, old ladies should follow Sita Devi. So, anyway, we'll talk about Sita Devi. So, of course, here's a story from the Ramayana. Once upon a time, there was actually an expansion of Sita Devi, who later on became Maya Sita, and her name was Vedavati. And Vedavati was meditating on the tops of some of the mountains. It's not mentioned what mountain it was in the Valmiki Ramayana. And she was meditating to get Lord Narayana as her husband. And as she was meditating to get Lord Narayana as her husband, who comes along in his airplane but our friend Ravan. Pushpa Gavivani, he sees this young, beautiful girl. He lands his airplane and he says, "Hey, I can see you're not married." And she says, "Well, yeah, I really want to get married to Lord Narayana." And he says, "Well, I got a better idea." And he grabs her hair. And she makes her hand like a knife, very sharp object, and cuts her hair, so she's actually separated from Ravan. And she says that, "I'm so defiled by your touch that I'm going to immolate myself." So she goes into this yogic posture and immolates herself. And of course, this is not actual Sita, because actual Sita, if Ravana had touched the actual Sita or even the actual Sita's hair, Prabhupada comments that Ravana would have burnt him to ashes immediately. He would have died. So, obviously, all that Ravana did, he never touched Sita Devi, the real Sita Devi. So anyway, so as she's leaving to this world, she says, "I'm going to be born again in your kingdom and be the cause of your death." And so Ravana starts to get a little nervous about the whole thing because he's scared of curses. For example, there was the curse given by Nalakuvara when Ravana had attacked Ramba, had attacked Ramba without her permission, and Ramba's married to Nalakuvara. So Nalakuvara cursed Ravana. The next time you actually take a woman without her permission, you're going to die. So Ravana respected curses, so he's very nervous. And then sometime later, there was a lotus flower that appeared with a little girl on it in the lake or the ocean near Lanka. And Ravana, he said, he didn't even touch the girl who was there, but he just said, throw her in the ocean, kill her. So they threw her in the ocean, and she was taken by Varuna, the ocean god, and Varuna took her and gave her to Bhumi, the earth goddess, and she was put under the ground and in a little casket, not casket in terms of, you know, like dead person, but, you know, casket can also refer to a little box, and a little wooden box, and she was brought by the earth goddess and put under the earth right in the kingdom of Janaka, which is the kingdom of Mithila, which we're reading about nowadays. We're reading about, of course, Janaka the first, who was the first person who was churned from Maharaj Nimi's body when Maharaj Nimi refused to stay alive and wanted to go back to Godhead. That's coming up in the Bhagavatam. So that was Janaka the first, and then you had Janaka the second, third, fourth, and eventually you get to Janaka, who is the father of Sita. But this particular Janaka, who is the father of Sita, was having a problem. He didn't have any children. And there was also a drought in the kingdom in Mithila. And in the Bhagavatam, we can read why Mithila is called Mithila later on. So there was a drought in the kingdom, and the way that he was thinking to overcome the drought was to sort of initiate the planting season by plowing the land himself. Now, this is the standard procedure that kings would do when at the beginning of the planting season, or the growing season, and also to evoke the demigods, to evoke rain and good fortune. So he personally was operating the bulls, or controlling the bulls that were pulling the plow. And so this plow was going through the earth, and all of a sudden it hit something, and it wouldn't go any further. So they dug up the earth, and then they found this little box and had a little girl inside. And that was Sita Devi. So he thought, wow, God has given me a daughter. Wow, I always wanted a child, now I got a child, a daughter. So, actually, you see, Janaka Maharaj was equal. He wasn't kind of upset because he didn't have a son. It's interesting. Sometimes you find the kings, they're upset they didn't have a son, they had a daughter. Like Dasarath was upset because he had a daughter and not a son. And he was so upset that he gave his daughter away to the king, Romapad. Not our Romapad Maharaj in the movement. But there's Romapad means the king with the hairy feet. Like Romanchikov, Vastru, Tarangalaja, you know, the hair standing on him. Anyway, so he gave away. So anyway, Janaka was very happy. Oh, got a nice daughter. And then shortly thereafter, his wife gave birth to a daughter too. And that daughter's name was Mother Urmila. No, Urmila. Sorry. That was deliberate. Anyway, so it was Urmila. And so Urmila was later on became the wife of Lakshman. And she was not allowed to cry for all the 14 years they were in the forest. That's a different story. So anyway, so Sita and Urmila, they were growing up together. And one time, there's something very interesting that occurred. There was this bow of Lord Shiva that had been actually given by Parashuram to one of Janaka Maharaj's ancestors. Parashuram, of course, is a warrior incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. and he killed Kshatriyas. He had this thing about Kshatriyas. Anyway, so he gave the bow of Lord Shiva. And one time when little Sita Devi was playing, somehow or other it's described that she got one of the balls that she was playing with, or a flower ball, stuck somewhere, and she had no way to reach it. So this bow, incidentally, could not be picked up by, let's say, 100 men. It took 100, 200 men just to pull it on its wheels. You know, it was a quite heavy bow. So what happened is that Sita Devi seen this bow. She just picked it up, you know, with one hand, just like got down her little flower thing. And when Janaka Maharaj heard about this and he went to see it, he said, oh my God, she is very powerful. Therefore, we're not going to get her married to anyone except someone who can lift the bow and string it. So that was his vow. So, then what happened, and came time for her Swayamvara, so there was an announcement that anyone who wants to marry Sita Devi, they're going to have to at least pick up the bow and string it. And also it's understood that she had the right of refusal, because Swayamvara means basically she picks her own. It doesn't mean that she's just like a trophy wife. You understand, like a trophy that's given when someone wins a competition. I mean, that's really a degrading, if you think like that. Someone won you in a competition. So anyway, so all these came from various places. And in the Valmiki Ramayana, it doesn't describe anything about them all being there at the same time. I mean, if you see the movie, they're all there at the same time. But in the Valmiki Ramayana, it describes they came at different times to try out picking up the bow, and it was even described that Ravana came, other people came, and they just couldn't pick up the bow, what to speak of string it. Eventually, Lord Ram comes into the picture, because Lord Ram had previously been engaged in protecting Vishvamitra Muni's fire sacrifice, because Vishvamitra Muni's fire sacrifice was being harassed by Marich and Savahu, and on the way to protect Vishvamitra Muni's fire sacrifice, Ram killed Tataka, who was, incidentally, that was Marich's mother. You know, the Rakshas of Marich, Uncle Marich, Kakashi. Anyway, that's Hindi for uncle. So he was, anyway, so Ram and Lakshman and Vishvamitra Muni arrived in the kingdom of Tila. And Ram was encouraged to try to string the bow. So he picked up the bow and started to string it, and the bow broke. And the esoteric meaning of the bow breaking is that Ram didn't actually break the bow. The bow actually broke itself, because it was the bow of Lord Shiva. And the bow of Lord Shiva did not want to be utilized in fighting against one of Lord Shiva's devotees, and Lord Shiva's devotee was Ravana. So the bow broke itself. So anyway, when Ram picked up the bow and the bow broke, there was a great uproar, and finally we know that Parashuram came, because he heard this cracking of the bow. He had the ability to travel at the speed of the mind. He wasn't living on the earth, because actually he'd been asked by Kashyapa to leave the earth. And then he said to Janaka and Raman Lakshman, who has broken this bow? And Lakshman said, you know, isn't this a little toy? Anybody could have broken the thing. And Parashuram got really angry at Lakshman, said, who is this kid? Let me kill him. And Ram stepped forward and said, look, who's the one who broke the bow? And I'm Ram, and Parashuram just didn't even like the name Ram at that particular point, because his name is I am Ram. You know, Parashuram and Ram. So he said, who is this upstart who's taking the name Ram? He said, if you think you are so powerful, let us see if you can take the bow of Vishnu. And so at that point, before Parshurama even gave him the bow of Vishnu, Ram manifested Vishnu's bow in his own hand. So Parshurama was a little shocked, and Ram drew the string on the bow, and he said, I gotta fire it, where should I fire it? And Parashurama thought about it, and he said, well, you could fire it in all of my pious activities that I've accumulated by doing all my austerities, but don't destroy my ability to travel at the speed of mind. So anyway, so that's the Swayamvara, Sita Swayamvara. Sita Swayamvara is generally celebrated on midday on Ram Navami, actually different times of celebration of different things. In the morning, you're supposed to celebrate the birth of Ram. In the middle of the day, Sita Swayamvara. And the end of the day, the conquering of Ravana. So, anyway, so there was the marriage. Of course, there were four people who got married. Ram, Lakshman, Bharat, and Shatrughna, because they're the two cousins of Sita Devi, who married Bharat and Shatrughna. And there's a wonderful marriage. And Dasarath, of course, was very, very happy with this marriage. And he was thinking, as he got older, how is this kingdom going to be taken care of? And so he thought, well, now's the time to enthrone Ram as the king. And he was seeing, he actually saw, and Valmiki reminded, described, he saw some inauspicious omens. The Valmiki Ramayan is full of descriptions of omens. Omens means things that people see that either predict something good or bad is going to happen or something's going to happen. I mean, it's interesting, like when Ravan goes out to fight, generally, Ravan or his soldiers go out to fight, generally their left eye is twitching like anything. And that indicates trouble. But for a woman, if her left eye is twitching, indicates good. For a man, it's the opposite. A man has a right eye. Right eye means fantastic. It means you're going to win the lottery. So, anyway, so there were inauspicious signs and omens. And Dasarath was thinking, I got to enthrone him right away before it's too late. You know, I may leave my body quickly. So he didn't even think that Bharat and Shatrughna were not there. They were visiting their uncle at that particular time in the province of Kaikeya. So he made plans to enthrone Ram the next day, you know, just very, very quickly, without too much consultation with the sages who were able to predict things astrologically. So we know during that particular time, Mantra influenced Kaikeyi, and Kaikeyi demanded from Dasarath that her son would be enthroned in Ram, and Ram would be banished to the forest for 14 years. So when Ram came to know this, he was all right. And then he went back, you know, he wasn't at all disturbed by this, because this is his pastime. And then he went back to inform Sita Devi about this. Sita Devi didn't know anything about what was happening, except that there was supposed to be a coronation. And when he went back to inform her, she said to him, these are quotes from Valmiki Ramayana, I wrote these down. Sita asked, you appear to be worried at such a joyous moment. What is the matter? Did anything untoward happen? She gently wiped the sweat on his face with the edge of her garment. Rama said, these are all quotes, so I thought it appropriate to read these quotes. Dear Janaki, do not feel aggrieved at what I'm going to tell you. I'm have to leave the capital for a distant place. You should see me off without tears. He told her about the king's dilemma and said, I will go to the forest for 14 years and return. You should remain without anger or sorrow. Be calm. Our parents are old. Look after them. Be good and courteous towards Bharat. Also permit me to leave. And Sita Devi, she just couldn't bear to hear this. She said, she wasn't sorry that her husband was not coronated, but she was angry that Ram would leave her behind and go to the forest alone. She said, quote, my lord, I can't stay for a moment in a place without you. In your absence, this Ayodhya will be a jungle to me. The forest wherein you stay will be my kingdom. My life runs under your shadow. I mean, this is a depiction of her chastity, which is mentioned in the Bhagavatam. It is not becoming of you to leave me behind. And so Ram began to explain, you know, all the rigors of forest life. Because in those days, it's not like today in India, you know, once in a while you run into a Bengal tiger. But in those days, they were all over the place. And Ram said, it's not a cozy royal garden. Cruel wild animals and evil demons, rakshasas infest it. You hear ferocious voices. You have to live on roots and wild fruits. A tender lady like you cannot withstand these hazards. You have to pass every day in fear of some impending danger. After all, 14 years is not such a long period. Sita would not listen to him. She said, whether it is a jungle or a town, it is my duty to be with you. I do not care for comforts here. I am not afraid of the difficulties we may encounter in the forest. You are such a lion of a man. Can't you protect me there? She's challenging him. She began to cry. And Ram, because she was crying, had to agree with her. Prabhupada actually said that several times. He said that tears are a woman's ultimate weapon. There was one instance where one of the ladies cried in front of Prabhupada, and Prabhupada gave in to. I was just listening to one of the memories there. It was interesting. So first of all, they went to Chitrakoot Mountain, and eventually they went to the Dandakaranya Forest, where they were supposed to protect the sages from the evil rakshasas and everything. And Ram, this is a very interesting incident where Sita Devi chastises or tries to give instruction to Ram. So Ram's carrying his bow around, you know, looking, Ram and Lakshman, looking for rakshasas. Incidentally, it was Lakshman who built their hut in the Dandakaranya forest. So Ram is looking for rakshasas, and Sita Devi, feeling very compassionate, even to the rakshas and animals, she begins to address him as follows. She says, Adiputra, that means the son of the high-class dynasty. Let me submit to you a few of my thoughts. Please do not think I am more learned than you. The sages narrated their problems, and you promised that you would annihilate the rakshasas and wild animals. You now have forsaken all the royal paraphernalia and come to the forest. Now you have to live like an ascetic and should not carry weapons. You have bow and arrows for self-protection. By your promise to the sages, the rakshasas will become your enemies. I am worried about this. We cannot say what danger might hit us at any time. And also, is it just to kill wild animals and rakshasas who have not harmed us in any way? Hatred without reason may result in danger. Please think it over. You know, Sita was actually, there's more to the story which I'm going to tell. That Sita was very concerned because Ram was carrying a bow. She said, if you're carrying a bow, you're going to use it. And I'm very worried about this. And she gave the example of one time there was a sage who wanted to perform austerities, and Indra was very worried. He was thinking, how can I deter the sage from all of his austerities? Generally, he would send down apsaras to do that. But this particular sage was not prone to being attracted to apsaras. So at this point, Indra, this is what Sita explained to Ram. Indra gave the sage a weapon. And because the sage had a weapon, guess what? He used it. And when he used it, he committed an offense, you know, killing animals unnecessarily. When he killed animals unnecessarily, guess what happened? He fell down from his position as being a sage, and Indra was very happy as a result of that. So it's a fact. When there are weapons, people will use them. You know, if there's a gun there, then there's that temptation to use the gun, you know, you pick it up like that. I remember when I was young, we'd have play guns, and we'd go around shooting each other with play guns. Everyone, I don't know if anyone remembers that. Nowadays, they don't have so many play guns anymore. But we used to have these guns with little caps and rolls of caps. Does anyone remember that? In the early days? And, you know, there's a roll, and actually made explosions, you know, small explosions. And so we'd go around, like, poof, poof, shooting each other. You had one. And that was wonderful training for medical activity. Anyway, so unfortunately. So, anyway, Ram explained, you know, I promised the sages, and Sita accepted his explanation. So they were living very comfortably close by the Godavari River. And, of course, there was that whole encounter with Suppanaka. Suppanaka came, and she was very attracted to Ram, and Ram and Lakshman were just, like, having fun teasing her. Ram and Lakshman were having fun teasing Suppanaka, and Suppanaka tried to kill Sita Devi, and Lakshman had to lop off different parts of her body. In the meantime, at some time in this particular pastime, Sita was actually given to Agni, the fire god, for protection, and Maya Sita, who was previously Vedavati, who we mentioned at the beginning of class, was given to Ram, so it wasn't the actual real Sita who was kidnapped. And then, of course, you have the whole kidnapping scene, where Sita, in order to get Lakshman to leave her, is accusing Lakshman of having impure desires towards her, and Lakshman goes away, and he finds Ram. Ram has just killed the Rakshasa who was Marich. And they come back and they see that Sita has been kidnapped. And it's not the real Sita, of course, it's Maya Sita. But still, we can tell the story based on Maya Sita. So when Maya Sita was kidnapped by Ravan, this was after Ravan fought with Jutayu. Ravan's chariot was destroyed. And Ravan carried back Maya Sita on his own power. He didn't have a chariot yet. His chariot was actually destroyed by Jatayu. So she was put into the Ashok Grove, and Sita refused even to talk to Ravan. She had this blade of grass. She said, if you come near me, you'll be ruined. So Ravan didn't even come near her. But Ravan was enraged, actually, because she kept insulting him, too. Not only did she forbid Ravan to come near, but she insulted him. Finally, Hanuman comes and finds Sita Devi there in the Ashok Grove. Oh, Hare Krishna. So, Sita. So, anyway, she was under this tree called the Shim Shupa tree. And she sent, Hanuman offers to take her back. And she says, I'm not going to touch any man voluntarily like that, so I'm not going back with you. Plus, I want to give Ram the glory of saving me. And at that time, Ravan was so angry with Sita that he said, in 2 months' time, if you don't give in to me, you're going to become my prasadam. I'm going to eat you. So, anyway, so then there was the fight between, we don't want to go through the whole thing now, but the fight between Ram and Ravan, and Ram, of course, eventually kills Ravan. He says, I want to see Sita again, and the Maya Sita comes back. And what happens is that Ram says to Lakshman, I'm not going to accept her back, because I doubt her chastity. You know, she should enter into the fire, and he tells Lakshman to make a fire. The Maya Sita enters the fire, the real Sita comes out, and actually when the Maya Sita is ready to enter the fire, she says, she bows to Ram and says, O fire god Agni, if I am pure, unsullied, and faithful to my husband, protect me. So saying, she walked into the flames. And Agni stepped out and he said, your wife is completely pure, how could you suspect her? Please accept this pure and fine woman. And so Ram accepted her for some time, and Sita and Ram lived in Ayodhya until there was a report. One of Ram's spies, and Ram wasn't spying on the citizens just to, you know, torture them or anything like that, or to control them, but he was spying just to figure out, sort of like an assessment on himself. Because nowadays, for example, in businesses, there's the assessments you do on people just to figure out how they're performing. So generally, there weren't too many people ready to give assessments to Ram, so he would send out spies to find out how people felt about him. And there was a washerman whose wife had just come back a little bit late one day, and the watchman said, I'm not going to accept her back. I'm not like that Ram. And when that was reported to Ram, Ram put on the guise of an ordinary man to try to see for himself what was going on. And then he heard that people were actually talking like that. And then he thought, I can't actually be a proper king if people don't trust me. You know, trust is very important if you're going to be the king. So, therefore, he told Lakshman, send Sita Devi away. And Sita Devi, she didn't know anything that was happening. She thought she was just going for a tour in the forest, because she had asked Ram previously that before I give birth, because she was pregnant, I want to see the forest again, you know, because it reminds me of the good old days when we were living in the forest. It was so romantic and everything like that. And so Ram doesn't tell her what's actually happening. She doesn't find out until Lakshman just drops her off in the forest. I mean, that's pretty heavy, isn't it? In other words, she's not good. Ram doesn't have the heart to tell her. He just tells Lakshman, and poor Lakshman, he drops her off, and Lakshman is crying. Lakshman faints, and finally she goes into the ashram of Valmiki Muni. And in the ashram of Valmiki Muni, there's this story. She's accepted by Valmiki Muni, who knows who she is, but Valmiki Muni doesn't reveal to anyone that he knows who Sita Devi is. And the brahmacharis there get a little upset. They think that, you know, she's just some unchaste lady. So Valmiki Muni comes upon this test for Sita Devi to show that she's actually the most chaste lady. There's this lake called the Shibhisagara. Sagara means like an ocean or lake, a big body of water. And previously there was a pigeon, a female pigeon, whose chastity was tested because her husband, you know, male pigeon, was doubting her chastity. She had to fly over this 80-mile or 800-mile lake, and the wind god helped her do that. So Valmiki Muni said we should do the same test with Sita Devi. If she's actually chaste, she won't get wet. And so she actually flew over this whole lake, and then the brahmacharis accepted that she was chaste. So in the meantime, her two sons, Lav and Kush, grew up, and they were instructed in the Ramayana by Valmiki Muni. They learned and memorized the Ramayana. About 15 years later, the two boys went to the city of Ayodhya, which was adjoining the ashram of Valmiki Muni, and they began to recite the Ramayana. And Lord Ram heard about their recitation of the Ramayana, and he invited them into the assembly house to entertain all of his guests during the sacrifice. And the whole Ramayana is put into a very beautiful tune called Swara. And I'm not familiar with what that means. Perhaps our dancers know what that means. But in any case, Valmiki Muni sent the boys, and they were reciting the Ramayana, and then they came to the point of Sita Devi being sent away. And they looked at Ram. And then finally Ram recognized them as his sons. And everyone agreed that now Sita Devi should come back. And Ram said, if Sita Devi is going to come back, she has to attest to her chastity, and Valmiki Muni has to attest to her chastity. So Valmiki Muni says, however, it is now proper that your impeccable wife be allowed to prove her own innocence. And when she came back, she was just so upset that she was doubted. It's described, this is from the Valmiki Ramayana, a direct quote. She stood in silence, her eyes transfixed on the ground without blinking. With folded hands, she said, if Ram has always been foremost in my heart, then may my mother earth, Bhumi, herself deliver me. If I have been only true to him, holy, mind, body, and soul, then may my mother earth deliver me. If I have loved none but him, let my mother earth deliver me. And as she spoke, the earth opened up, shook and cracked, and Bhumi Devi came, and she was, it's described, the throne she was seated on was extremely beautiful, and supported by nagas, or snakes. Amazing. And she invited Sita Devi to take her seat beside her, and Sita Devi went on the throne, and the naga had fiery eyes and jewels on their foreheads. And then she went down, the earth disappeared, and actually Ram took his bow and arrow and just threatened to destroy everything unless Sita Devi was returned. And then the demigods, especially Lord Brahma, said, no, this is your pastime. And finally, I'm going to end with a quote from Madhvacharya's Mahabharata commentary. It said, Parvishya Bhumal Devi Loke Dushtanu Sarata Rime Rame Naiva Yukta Vaskarena Prabho Yata. And the quote is, that beautiful Sita Devi seemingly entered the earth, although actually she always remains with Lord Ram, just as the sun rays are always with the sun. So, I'll explain that in a second. But first, we'll just finish with the story. So for the next 13,000 years, Ram performed his sacrifices with the deity of Sita Devi. And after that time, Ram was informed, and we talked about Ram's disappearance past times in a previous class, that it was time to leave this earth, and he and his residents of Ayodhya entered into the Sarayu River and went back to the spiritual Ayodhya and in the spiritual world. So the point is about Sita Devi. Okay. So it appears that Ram is being extremely cruel to Sita Devi. You know, first asking her to go to the fire, and then after that, sending her away. And then after that, Sita Devi entered the earth because she's so upset with Ram. But we have to understand the unmanifest nature of the Lord's pastime, just like we hear that Krishna is still in Vrindavan. Now, Krishna is still in Vrindavan. Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. However, he's not manifest to our eyes. In the same way, Sita Devi is always with Ram, although she may not be manifest to everybody's eyes, but she's always with Ram. She's never separated from Ram. The same way Radha is always with Krishna. And the mood of, and the emotion of Vipralamba, intense separation, actually brings the lover and beloved closer together. And when that mood is manifest, the lover and beloved are together. There's no separation. So this is a spiritual pastime of separation. Okay? Like Ravi and Krishna's pastime. Of course, we didn't get a chance to talk about Janata Mata today, who is here today. Also, it is today. So thank you very much. All glories to His Divine Grace. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jai. Got a lot of people watching this morning. Oh, Mayapur is watching. Mayapur says, it would be super nice if I were in Hillsboro with you.